pleasure to be here this week. I appreciate y'all making us feel so welcome, amen, and we certainly enjoyed ourselves, amen. I promise you I won't preach as long as I did last night, amen. Well, it's not my intention, I put it that way, amen. So I'm all of y'all even come back tonight, amen. About kept it at midnight last night, amen. But anyway, at least that's what my grandson tells me, amen. He said, Granddaddy, if you'd quit quitting so many times, you said this is the last point, and you've hit about 15 more. So I said, well, son, you just lead the singing, and I'll do the preaching, amen. So, praise the Lord. But I have precious grandchildren. I appreciate that. We won't start talking about grandchildren, but I appreciate all my children and grandchildren, amen. Good to see Brother Panther again. What a blessing to see Brother Panther. I hadn't seen him since the last millennium, amen. Joy to see him tonight, amen, and his wife. Appreciate y'all being here. Sure, it's good to see Brother Brown, amen. Thank him, his wife coming, amen. And it's a joy to be with him. Then some of you preachers I met, I appreciate the opportunity to meet other preachers while we've been in a meeting, amen. Always honored. When I preach and preachers come to a meeting, you know, other churches, I'm so honored because I know y'all got 1,000 things y'all could be doing. But God bless y'all for coming. It's always good to meet God's men, amen. I appreciate, man, we had a good lunch today, amen, I'm telling you. The pastor and his family, we went down there, and I am telling you, we really had a good time of eating, but we had a good time of fellowship. And I found out my little flimsy stories, I'm not going to tell them anymore, amen. After I talked to the pastor and his wife today, I said, my little stories of maybe going through a cave experience, I'm not even going to tell them anymore after the things they've been through, amen. So next time I preach, I'm going to take the pastor with me. When I get to that point, I'll just say, now you take it over from there, Brother Mark, amen. But it's been a joy. Thank you all again. Joy at the prayer room tonight, amen. I don't know what y'all felt, but I got a good touch of God. That don't mean I'm going to preach good, but I did feel a good touch of God back there, amen. And I appreciate that, amen. I try to encourage our men. We pray before the services like y'all do, and I try to tell our men, if nothing else, let your children see you in the prayer room down on your knees, and no matter what they do in life, they'll never get away from that. I just believe that, amen. And so I appreciate the good prayer room tonight. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter number 7, if you would turn there. And I don't know that I'd wrestle about what to preach, amen, but I've got several messages in 42 years that I feel like the Lord has really put on my heart, amen. Some of them I've preached that I'll never preach again, amen. I preached one time on Jeremiah 6:16, get back to the old paths, and 40 people left that morning, never came back. I think there wasn't the paths I was talking about, amen. But so I filed that one. I'll never preach that one no more, amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, Genesis chapter number 7, if you're physically able to stand, if not, just remain seated. I really mean that. But if you're physically able to stand, let's stand, and we'll read the Bible together. Thank you all for everything you've done for us. A nice, nice, nice place we're staying. I mean, I'm telling you, we checked it again. I'm pretty sure that's silk sheets on them beds, amen. But as a matter of fact, I know it because I fell out, slipped out of bed 2 times last night. Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. It is a nice, nice place over there. And thank y'all for the nice accommodations y'all have given us and all the good fellowship we've enjoyed. I don't feel like I have words adequate enough to say thank you. Amen. And then y'all got preachers coming. Amen. First Baptist tomorrow night. Now, you know y'all will get something tomorrow night. Amen. And then, of course, Brother Wells, a dear friend of ours, what a great preacher he is. Amen. Genesis chapter number 7. We'll not read the whole chapter, but I want to skip around and get to my point. Amen. Then we'll pray and bring the message. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female. Sounds like it's only male and females. Amen. I don't know. I don't read anything else in there. Amen. He said the male is female to keep a seed alive on the face of all the earth. And yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I've made, and every living substance I have made will I destroy off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now drop down to verse number 9. Then went in two and two unto the Noah and to the ark, the male, the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Verse 12. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. Verse number 16. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Verse number 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and of creeping things, and the fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And we read that reference several times, but I want to emphasize that. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now, I'll try to preach on this thought tonight, surviving in our society. Surviving in our society. Let's pray. Father, help me now. I pray, Lord, I don't want to preach out of familiarity. Lord, I believe this is what you put on my heart for this service tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd give me that anointing, that touch. Lord, I pray you'd call things in my mind that need to be said. And certainly, Lord, remove anything my mind would need not be said. And so, Lord, I pray now, God, you'd grant liberty and power and unction. And God, I pray the word of God tonight would run and find free course and find lodging in our hearts. Lord, in my heart, I pray, God, you'd do that. For me, Lord, as well as the congregation, help us now as our prayer. Certainly, it's our prayer if there be one here tonight not saved, not settled, not sure, that God in this revival meeting, they would get that settled, that they know that they're saved, and then challenge us as God's people, I pray, in Christ's name, amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible, surviving in our society, the Bible talks about three arcs that I know of, maybe more, but three outstanding arcs in the Bible. There was Noah's ark, amen, in which God told Noah to build this ark, as we read tonight, to save society. And then also there was Moses' ark that God instructed Jochebed to build to save her son, Moses. And I simply thought about that. Certainly, no doubt, Jochebed built that ark. She got the idea. I would think she got the idea from Noah. She said, if God could build an ark to save a whole society, then I ought to be able to build an ark to save my son. And no doubt she probably got that thought from Noah's ark. And then we see there is the Ark of the Covenant. In Noah's ark, if by way of introduction, I'd like to say in Noah's ark, I believe in typology. This is what the Scofield Bible says, but not just that. I certainly see the reasoning there represents Israel in the tribulation. They are going through the judgment of God on the earth, and God's going to put Noah and his family in an ark and see them safely through what we would call the judgment of God. And certainly the church is going to be raptured out in Enoch chapter number 5. The Bible said that Enoch was taken out, amen. One day he went for a walk and God took him on to heaven, which is a type of the rapture. And I think we would all agree with that. So he's taken out, Enoch's taken out before the judgment of God falls on the earth. Now this flood is the judgment of God. Amen. Give me an amen on that. But Israel is going to be in the ark of protection and be preserved through the judgment of God. I believe Israel will be in the tribulation and be preserved through the judgment of God, or the tribulation as we know it. But we see that in our text tonight, that the Bible says that Noah was living before the flood. Over in Matthew chapter number 24, you don't have to turn there, but let me read this to you. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, one taken and the other left. Now, I personally, and if your pastor believes otherwise, your pastor's right and I'm wrong. I believe that taken there is not the rapture. I believe that's taken in judgment. The Bible said the flood took them away, and so shall it be those, amen, that will be taken away in that day. And so thank God, I am not going to experience the judgment of God. We as the church will not go through the tribulation. That's what I believe, and I know that's what your pastor and you preachers believe. Amen. So my point is simply this. Noah's Ark is a type of Israel being spared from the judgment of God. But also it said in that day, before the flood, Noah was living before the flood. And so my point is simply this, as it was in Noah's day, so shall it be in our day before the judgment of God or the tribulation. Could I get an amen there? So what was that day like? What was the day in which Noah was living before the judgment of God fell? Well, first of all, it was a very corrupt day. And we certainly see that, and I can't spend much time there, amen. But back in our text tonight, in chapter number four, the Bible talks about it was a day of liberal religion. Cain and Abel, two men that out of Adam's family, one killed the other. It was a corrupt day, liberal religion. What was Cain doing? Cain was bringing a beautiful sacrifice, and Abel was bringing a bloody sacrifice. And one sacrifice was rejected, and the other sacrifice was accepted. And we're certainly living in that day, a corrupt day of liberal religion. Now, we take it for granted we come to church, amen, that we're going to talk about the blood, and we're going to preach from the right Bible, amen, and we got standards and convictions. But I'm going to tell you, the average church is not like that. I'm glad, thank God, I'm in a Bible-preaching church. Amen. It's not a liberal church. Amen. But in general, across our country and around our world, there's a whole lot of liberal religion. And it's getting more liberal by the day. Amen. So I don't have time to deal with that. So it was a corrupt day of liberal religion. It was a corrupt day of lack of restraint. In chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible said what? And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I looked at it, and again in the Scofield Bible, in the margin, it said the whole imagination, the Hebrew word signifies not only the imagination, but the purposes and desires of man was only evil continually. And I'm telling you, we're living in that day. Social media has taken over our country. I mean, you can see anything you hold in your hand. You can see anything you want to see. We're in such a liberal, ungodly, wicked day. And I believe it's having a great effect on the church. Amen and amen. And I'm for the telephone, and I got a telephone. But I'm telling you what, it's created a lot of chaos in our churches. Why? Because it was a day of lack of restraint. Marriages and morals and minds are corrupted like we have never experienced in my day. So it was a day of lack of restraint. It was a day of lawless rebellion. In verse number 11 of chapter number 6. Y'all help me now. I'm trying to get to the message. In chapter 6, verse number 11, the Bible said what? And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted the way upon the earth. It was a day of what? Well, a day of lawless rebellion. I'm telling you, have you ever seen a day like we're living in? So much rebellion. Amen. So, sum that up, it was a very wicked day. The days of Noah was a very wicked, and there's much could be said about that we don't have in this message time to talk about. It was a day of wicked, wicked day, only evil continually. Amen. I was reading an article. No, I was listening to a preacher preach. And this pastor was from Houston, Texas. And here's what he said. Houston, I did not know this. He lives there. He pastors there. Him and the mayor of Houston had a great controversy over it. He said, Houston is the most wicked city in the United States. I would have thought Chicago. I would have thought New York. I would have thought Los Angeles. But he said Houston, by statistics, is the worst, wickedest city in the United States of America. They said sex slave is in the multiplied thousands. And that pastor said that from his pulpit. And the mayor of the city come after him for that. He said, I'm reading y'all statistics. He said, the statistics I'm reading is some statistics that your city have put out. So my point is simply this. Sex slavery in the city of Houston, over 300,000 sex slaves. And 80,000 of them are minor girls. I'm telling you, we're living in such a wicked day. I didn't come to depress you, but I'm telling you, I'm not saying the Lord's coming tonight, but I will tell you this, it's going to be like this when he comes. What we're seeing transpire, it's going to be like that when he comes. And I tell our church all that. I'm not setting a date, but I'm telling you, I believe we're lit. I've preached it for 40 years, but I'm about to believe it now. Somebody help me. It was a day of wickedness, amen. It was the worst day of judgment it ever been. Do you know in this judgment to come, in Noah's day, what was the worst judgment it ever been? More died than lived. We've heard of awful judgments just recently over in Syria, Turkey. What, over 40,000 people killed in an earthquake. I mean, 40 million cases of AIDS in Africa. I'm talking about tsunamis that kill 250,000 people. But you know what? In all that, more lived than died. But in this one, more died than live. A conservative estimate I read is 1 billion people could have been on planet Earth and only 8 got spared. Are y'all listening? I'm just simply saying it was the worst day of judgment that the world has ever known. Amen. Just one judgment in the Revelation. In the chapter number 6 of Revelation, one judgment of the seal judgment, just one judgment is going to take out 2 billion people in one judgment. Man, we're living on the brink of the judgment of God. I'm telling you, when the rapture takes place and we're gone, if you're left, you're going to see the judgment of God. And I'm not happy with that. That's why I'm preaching on it. I don't want you to be here for the tribulation. Thank God I've been delivered from the wrath to come. I'll never know the judgment of God. Thank God. Amen. It was a wicked day. The worst day. It was a waning day. Few were being saved. Now, this is probably a fault of mine. But preacher, I get to preach a few meetings somehow. I don't know why. But I'm not seeing a lot of people saved in the meetings I preach. I see one saved there, two saved there, one saved there, two. I preach a lot of meetings. Nobody gets saved. That's probably my fault. But I'm not seeing a lot of people get saved. I'm telling you, I've had older preachers tell me, if you'd have preached that 40 years ago, 50 years ago, a crowd would have got saved. We're living in a hard day, a wicked day. I mean, it's so wicked, you can't even talk about it in public. And don't want to talk about it in public. But I'm telling you, we're living in a wicked day. Few people are being saved. Thank God for everyone that does. But we're not seeing a lot of people get saved. You might have a move of God somewhere every now and then. Thank God for that. Amen. Brother Barry Rackley was just down in a place that I preached years ago. I mean, that meeting went on for about 4 or 5 weeks. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, all in all, we're not seeing a lot of people saved. I tell you, we're not living in the days of Billy Sunday. I probably was preaching years ago. How I ever got there, I don't know. Amen. I was preaching up in Pennsylvania. I was preaching in Pittsburgh. And the preacher had got an old church, amen, old Methodist church, and he was starting to work there, and he asked me to come up there and preach. And so I preached a couple of nights. The next day he picked me up, and he said, "Preacher, I want to take you and show you where Billy Sunday used to preach." And we drove over there. Of course, the tabernacle was tore down, but we walked on those grounds where Billy Sunday and all those thousands of people were gathered under the tabernacle. And he said, "Preacher, you're walking on the grounds where literally thousands and thousands of people would sit here Billy Sunday." He said, "Of course, you see the tabernacle's not here." But he said, and matter of fact, Billy Sunday would come out and shake their hands after the end of the service, and they got saved. They said he shook hands with 1 million people. And he showed the door where he would come out under the pulpit. And he said, thousands and thousands. But he said, "Listen to this preacher." He said, "Where you're preaching in this old Methodist church that we're starting, independent Baptist church." He said, "Where you're preaching, Billy Sunday preached in this church." He said, "You're probably standing by far as the end of that wall where Billy Sunday used to stand." And he said, "That meeting was in the mornings to get about 500 or 600 men in this building. And he would preach to them and get them ready for the night service." And he said, "You're standing just about this far from where he preached." I said, "Glory to God. Billy Sunday, my name is Billy Monday, somebody." And so we stopped to get a drink. And I walked in the station. This is in Pittsburgh now. Pittsburgh. I walked in the station. I got back in the car and said, "Preacher, they don't sell alcohol in there." I said, "I didn't see no beer." He said, "No, they don't sell alcohol in here." I said, what in the world, in Pittsburgh? He said, preacher, you know why? I said, no, tell me. He said, Billy Sunday preached here 100 years ago. Billy Sunday, 100 years, had preached so against alcohol. 100 years later, they wasn't selling alcohol. We're not living the days of Billy Sunday. I think we're in the gleanings. I'm still reaping in the field. We're getting the gleanings, amen. My point is simply this. It was a waning day, but thank God it was a witnessing day. Methuselah, amen. Methuselah was prophesying. Here's what the Bible says about Methuselah. His name means, when I die, it will happen. That's what I read. And they say, according to what I read, they said, when he died, hey, the judgment came. I bet every time that boy got a fever, his daddy got nervous. I bet every time he got whooping cough, they said, you better check him. We're fixing to leave. Somebody help me. Hey, it was a waning day, amen. It was a witnessing day. Hey, listen to this. It not only was Methuselah prophesying, Enoch was parting. Thank God one day the church will leave this world. Thank God I'm waiting for the rapture, amen. Someday, some glad, happy day, we'll leave this world. I'm excited about that. Amen. Hey, Noah was preaching. 120 years, Noah was preaching. How many outlines could you get on it's going to rain? 120 years. I'll grant you that was one of his main themes. It's going to rain, children. Somebody help me. Noah was preaching. Hey, amen. I worry sometimes about people coming to hear me preach and they done heard the man. I bet you every time you heard Noah preach, he's preaching the same outline. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Amen. Somebody help me. Hey, Noah, the Spirit was pleading. Chapter 6. The Bible said the Spirit will not always strive with man. So it was a day. Here's my point. It was a day that they had plenty of opportunity. The whole world, other than Noah and his family, got on the ark. The whole world perished. Over 1 billion people died in the judgment. My mind cannot even comprehend that. But yet we know it's true from the Bible. Amen and amen. Noah, in Noah's day, they rejected preaching. In that day was Lot, and the Bible said, in that day, they rejoiced in perversion. We are living right before the judgment as Noah did, and we see exactly the same pattern. Amen and amen. So, preacher, what about that? Well, the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. Can I tell you why the ark wasn't full? Because Noah preached righteousness. Can I tell you why a lot of our churches ain't full? Because we preach righteousness. There's a lot of people ain't preaching righteousness, amen. It's come get saved and live any way you want to. That ain't what the Bible teaches. My point is simply this. How did Noah make it in his day? The same way we're going to make it today. In chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible said he found grace. You know how he made it? He found grace, amen, in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the same way we're going to make it. The grace of God is going to save us and get us out of the judgment to come. Anybody, he was just, perfect, upright, walked with God. Hebrews chapter 8 said, by faith, Noah, he got in by faith, by the grace of God. That's the same way we get in. Amen. I got saved in a Pentecostal church. Amen. After I got saved, they come told me, and I got saved in a Pentecostal meeting. I was raised in a Baptist church, dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots Baptist church. And I am telling you, I went back to the church and I told them that I'd gotten saved on a Thursday night. I told them I got saved. And here's what they looked at me and said. And it looked like they was mad about it. They said, well, you can't lose it. Well, the crowd I got saved under told me to hold on. They said, hold on and don't lose it. I got back to the Baptist church and they was happy. They was running around the building shouting, somebody help me. They looked like they was happy they could lose it. And the Baptists looked like they was mad they couldn't. Somebody help me. For about a year after I got saved, I believe what I got saved in it. I believe I could lose it. Are you listening? But then, thank God, one day I got the second blessing. They told a Pentecostal guy on the job told me to get the second blessing. I was trying to get it. He said it was better than what I already had. I said it's better than what I got. Better than this. He said, "Oh, if you get the second blessing, it'll be better." I got it. I found out I was saved for eternity. That was a real blessing. Amen. Thank God. I've been holding on for a year, but I found out he's holding me. I just turn loose and turn it over to him. Somebody help me. Amen, amen. Praise God. Here's my point. It's the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it was saved by grace. That's how, amen. He was sustained by grace. For the grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I was saved by grace. I'm sustained by grace. Noah was too. Amen. I think you get saved by grace. I don't care what part of the Bible you read it. Grace of God's going to save you. Somebody help me. And if you get saved in the tribulation, if you were left here to get saved, you'll get saved by grace. Somebody help me. Here's my point. He was influenced by grace. Could I ask you this? What's influencing you? Are you being influenced by grace? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. It says that in 2 Corinthians, let me read that to you. He said, but even unto this day when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with our open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. When God saves you, that just begins it. That's not the end. God then works on us, changing us. Amen and amen. So what? Hey, exposure will change you more than effort. Now I want to make that statement. Exposure will change you more than effort. Let me give you a simple illustration. In our church, and I'm sure in your church, we see people come forward, get on the altar Sunday morning or whenever the service is. Let's just say Sunday morning. They get on the altar. They get up. You go over and talk to them. Brother, did you get help? Oh, yeah, I got help. And then they won't come back Sunday night. They don't want it. What's going to change us is staying exposed. I think they come with the intention, I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to do better, live right. But if you don't stay exposed, you're not. Because exposure is what keeps you, is going to change you. That's why I believe the Bible says so much the more, just don't forsake the assembly of yourselves, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir and that, but I'm telling you, nothing's going to change you more than exposure. I stay exposed. I'm telling you, preacher, because I'm a preacher and because I see what's happening, not just that, but because I'm a preacher, I stay exposed to the things of God. I get up in the morning, I cut on preaching. I listen to preaching while I'm getting ready. I listen to preaching when I get in my car to go to the church. I listen to preaching, not just to get an outline. Well, sometimes I do, amen. But then I do it because I need it. Are you seeing what's happening across the country? We are seeing alarming things happen to preachers across the country. I'm telling you, you don't fall out of the God, you don't fall out of the plan of God overnight. You start somewhere not being exposed. You know what revival is? God is exposing us again. God is stirring us up again. Amen. So I just said this, I'm going to stay exposed. You need preaching time, you don't need prime time. Amen. Hey, listen to this. You don't need soap operas. You need sermons. Amen. Amen and amen. That's a paradox. A soap opera. Sound like that ought to clean you. That makes you dirty. Somebody help me. Matter of fact, you need preaching. You need King James washing powder. You don't need this weak stuff. Amen. You need borax. We need borax. Amen. Hey, man, I'm telling you, this King James Bible, they don't cut it short now. It'll tell you what you are. It don't say you have an affair. It'll say you're a fornicator. Somebody help me. Oh, y'all help me. Well, he has a drink and all you're drunk. Amen. I know that because I was one. But thank God when I got saved, I got exposed to the gospel. I couldn't get enough church. Amen. And that's not me. That's what the grace of God does. You don't need the clubhouse. You need the church house. You don't need the world. You need worship. Only rock and roll you need is Rock of Ages, cleft for me, and when the roll is called up, you'll now be there. Amen. Amen and amen. I remember I got saved on a Thursday night. My brother picked me up on Friday night, and there was a juke joint down on the river. And we used to always go down there. And my brother picked me up and he said, Alfred, you ain't believe this, but I got a brand new tape by Aretha Franklin. And that was my soul sister. And when I got in that car, and my brother had bought a Cadillac, and we was riding that big old Cadillac, headed down to the, Joe went down on the river. He said, Alfred, listen to this. And he plugged in Aretha Franklin, my favorite soul sister. And Brother Brad explained the Southern Salvation. For the first time, something in my chest, I said, I don't like that no more. One night later, I got saved on a Thursday night, and one night later, he plugged in the music that I used to live by, and the whole something. I said, I don't like. I said, Bubba, I don't think I want to go to the river. Take me back home. He said, you sick? I said, no, I don't care for that no more. I didn't understand why. I've come to find out it's the Holy Spirit moved in. And he likes soul music, but he don't like that kind of soul. You know what I found out? God changed my music. You're not going to listen to that kind of music and worship God. That music is going to pull you away from God. You got to stay exposed to the things of God, not the things of the world. Man, how can you get any better than what we've heard the last 2 nights? Hey, that kind of singing, young people singing that, thank God for that, amen. My point is simply this. Hey, we just need to stay exposed. What? Stay exposed to church, camp meeting, jubilee, youth meetings, revival. That's what's going to keep you living for God. Amen. Reading your Bible, praying. I know that's elementary, but I told our church I could preach on this every service. Read your Bible and pray. You're not going any further till you do. I know us preachers, we try to sometimes look for all kind of deep things. You don't need nothing deep. Get your Bible, read your Bible, pray, go to church, get in every meeting you can get, and stay exposed so the world won't sweep you away. He stayed there by faith. Amen. Found grace. Then he had family government. Look in chapter 7, verse 7. Bible says in verse number 7. The Bible said, Noah went in, his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So Noah got his family in. Praise God. Now, I don't know the doctrine called household salvation, but I'll tell you what, we sure see it a lot in the Bible. Noah got his family in. Rahab got her family in. Amen. The jailer got his family in. Sounds like pretty good. If you get saved, maybe your family will get in. Amen. Somebody's got to start it. Is anybody listening? My brother right now is telling the preacher today, I believe, I think. I was telling him, my brother turned 81 years old. He'll be 82 years old in May. I got to lead him to the Lord 2 years ago. My brother was 70. I was 79. He was 79 years old when I led my brother to Christ. And now he's laying in the bed, probably not have much longer to live. But I'm so glad my brother took me 40-something years praying, not me, God, praying that my brother would get saved. My point, thank God, I get to meet my mama there. I get to meet my daddy there. Now I get to meet my bubba there. I'm just saying, hey, Noah got his family in. Thank God, amen. The Bible said, Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible said by faith, that verse starts by faith. By faith, what? Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Not to save the world. He didn't build an ark to save the world. He built an ark to save his house. Bible said by faith, he built an ark through the saving of his house. But I'm going to tell you what, saving your house will save the world. If everybody's house would get saved, the world would get saved. So my point is simply this, he went in. The Bible said in verse 7, he went in. There was a plea in verse 1, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God said, bring your whole family in. He didn't tell him to go in the ark, he said, come in the ark. Hey, if you pull up my house and I'm in the yard and you want to go in, I say, go in the house. But if I'm in the house, I say, come in the house. And that's what he said. He didn't tell him, go in the ark. He said, come in the ark. Sound like God was in the ark. Matter of fact, he was the ark. Somebody help me. Come thou. Amen. Then it was personal. Come thou. I remember that night in that building I just told y'all about, back on the back row. I was on the back row and God called my number. Somebody, I ain't got time to tell y'all about that tonight, amen. But I am telling you, I got a personal call from God. I remember when he called me. Amen. I run down the aisle, and I slid in. I literally slid into the altar, saved. Man led me to the Lord was the man who wrote, "There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life." See, that man, Ronnie Henson, led me to the Lord. And I went walking off, and he said, "Hey, sir," he said, "you just got saved. Hold on." That's where I got that hold on stuff. And I held on for a year. But it sure was a blessing when I found that I could turn loose. Anybody listening? Here's my point. The Bible said, "Come down all the house into the ark." Amen. Notice this. He said what? It was a plea. It was personal. It was parental. Come down all the house. God wants your whole house to be saved. Amen and amen. Praise God. I believe he taught them boys how to work. I don't know and break no types, but I don't believe Noah got it and built that ark when them boys laying up in the rack. I believe he woke them up in the morning and said, "Pull your pants up, we're going to work." I don't believe they laid around and said, Daddy, we ain't going to." "Oh, no, not in that day." Noah said, "Boys, get up, we're going to work." Said, "We're going to have some fun doing it. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. We're going to do some pitching. Daddy, we gonna play ball." "No, we ain't playing ball, but we gonna do some pitching. We gonna pitch this ark. Somebody. Inside and out." Is anybody listening? Amen and amen. And the Bible said he built it out of gopher wood. He said, "Go for some wood. Go for somebody help me." I said I wasn't gonna say that tonight, but I can't get around that. He taught them how to work. I believe he taught them boys to work. Amen. Can't you hear one of them boys? Can't you hear Shem right now? 450 foot long. Boys, we got to pitch this thing all the way around. Got to do it on the inside, outside. Can't you hear one of them boys? This would be typical for a teenage boy. "Daddy, why don't we build a door on the other side and we wouldn't have to walk all around with this bucket of pitch. We could just walk right." "No, son, one door. Can't put another door in it. That's the instruction God gave us." He taught them how to work. He taught them how to worship. I believe when they got on that ark, and that storm come, and rain started coming down, and water was coming up, and winds was blowing, I believe they really learned how to worship. Are you listening to them? I know when we started our church in St. Stephen 42 years ago, we went over there to start a church, and on Saturday night, we didn't have a television, and we didn't go to the movies, and so I'd get my son, and I'd get my daughter, and Philip was about this high, and Marcy was about 10 years old. And I'd say, "All right, now we're going to have church tonight." And we'd get back there in the den. And I had built Philip a little pulpit about this high. And I said, "Philip, you're the preacher." And I said, "Your sister's going to be the pianist. And your mama's going to be the congregation. And I'm the deacon. So we're going to have some special singing. And then, Philip, I want you to preach." And I'm telling you, sometimes I believe preaching, God really got in that thing. And so I would take up the offering. And I'd go to the congregation. And I'd say, "Boy, give me some offering there. Because we got to pay the preacher." And that's normally what happens. She didn't give me none, amen. But that's what we would do on Saturday night. You know what Philip is today? He's a preacher. You know what Marcy is? 42 years. She's the church pianist. And I am telling you, I believe sometimes God got into that Saturday night meeting. So what I was trying to do is teach my children there's something better than what the world's got. Let's worship God. We ought to teach our children, to worship God. Amen, amen. Praise God. If it's good enough for mom and dad, it's good enough for our children. That's why if my convictions is good enough for me, they're good enough for my children. Somebody help me. I believe he taught them parental. He got the family in. They work. They worship. I believe he taught them about women. I want to ask you something. I know you preachers can straighten me out. Where did them boys get 3 saved girls? Evidently, they either led them to Christ, or somehow, in typology, they got on the ark. It said his sons and his 3 wives. I think he told them this. I think he told them boys this. Boys, there's a lot of worldly, sexy-looking women out there. Don't look at them. Look for some godly women. And they were so godly, they got on the ark. Somebody help me. Hey girls, here's what I think, girls. You say, well, you ain't supposed to be looking. The Bob said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The man's supposed to be looking. But you need to be where he's looking. And you don't need to be there to be looking sexy, because that ain't what's going to win him. Because the world is full of that, like never before. Matter of fact, it's even in the church now. Somebody help me. Yeah, I'm telling you, Brother Panthers, I've preached in places, Independent Baptist Church, we done dropped them standards. I'll tell you why the ark wasn't full, amen, because Noah was preaching against that. Somebody help me. Is anybody listening? He said, boys, you better look for them godly girls. Amen. And they said, well, Daddy, ain't no hope. Daddy, there's no hope. There's not any other. He said, oh, yeah, there's hope. Let me give you a Bible example. Adam. He said, you talk about a hopeless situation. Where was Adam going to get away from? There was none. But I tell you what God did. God made him one. That's what he said. What he said in Genesis. God made Eve. He said, Adam, I ain't forgot you, son. If the animals has got a mate, I'll make you one. Somebody help me. You're not hopeless. God can make you one. Amen, amen. Hey, just stay with God. Just pray, read your Bible, be faithful, stay forth, and God will give you more than your heart's desire. Right. Praise God. I believe that. We got a good, pretty good crowd. Our church, we're a small church, but we got a pretty good crowd. I pray for them every day. Bunch of them, about time for them to get married. I mean, there's about 20 of them. I'm talking about 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 years old, 28 years old. I said, man, it's time for y'all to get married. Pray. God will make you one. Amen. That got anything to do with this message? I don't know. I just know he got his family on. I said, you better not marry one that ain't saved. You just think you got trouble. Noah taught them boys about women and work and worship. Amen. Do you know what Ham didn't mess up to Noah fell? Daddies, I'm telling you, we carried a load. Noah fell, and as a result of that, Ham fell. Amen. He got naked. Are y'all listening? Well, I don't have time to deal with that. I'm just simply saying, that has taken over now, Dave. Tells me we are in the days of Noah. Amen and amen. Amen. Man, I was preaching in a place one night. I wasn't going to tell this. Well, I didn't even think of it right now. I was preaching in a place one night, and a pastor came to me and said, preacher, we got a guest choir coming tonight. I said, man, that's wonderful. I love choir music. And he said, well, they coming to sing tonight. I said, that'd be wonderful. And I done had my message. I already had a message when he told me that. And I looked at the message, and then I saw the choir walk in. I said, oh, my Lord have mercy. Man, I'm telling you, it looked like a burlesque show. It was as bad as I've ever seen. And I got a message here that dealt with how they looked. And here's what the Holy Ghost said to me. He said, you preached it like that last time. What you gonna do tonight? I said, and I had some of the points written out. I'm not doing that no more. I just play it by ear, size up the crowd, and then see what to say. But it's like the Holy Spirit said, you preached all this last time. You preached it. What you going to do tonight? I said, I don't know, Lord. He said, you're going to preach it. And so, dear God, preach it. I'm telling you, that crowd was naked on the choir. Thank God for this week, man. We ain't seen that. That's getting few and far between. Did y'all come to hear this? So, man, I just reared back there, God. He said, preach it like you preached it last. I reared back, closed my eyes, said, put your clothes on! Yeah, God, when I got through, they was going out of side doors, back doors. Wasn't nobody coming out my door. Next day, the preacher picked me up. Him and his wife takes out to eat. And they were our age. And his wife was dressed like that. In other words, preach your heart out. We ain't changing. You know why some churches ain't having revival or a move of God? We don't want to obey God. Amen and amen. Ain't it a consolation to preach where people put their clothes on? Now, I tell our church like this, I don't care if they polka dot, fuzzy, green, red. Hey, if they're visiting, hallelujah. I don't care how they look. But I'm going to tell you what, once you get saved and join the church, you ought to clean up. Amen and amen. Amen. And I don't just preach that here. I preach it everywhere I go. Amen and amen. And meetings are becoming less and less. Somebody help me. My point is that Ham fell after his daddy fell. Give me this, I'm about through. He had faith. He found grace. He had family. He had faith in God. Noah was living for God, but no other person was doing it. Noah didn't get to go to a meeting like this. Noah didn't get to have an assembly like this and people come. Amen. He lived for God when nobody else was living for God. He had no fellowship with the outside, his family. Amen. Had no friends, so to speak. So when no person was living for God, Noah was living for God. And that's pretty much like we are today. I'm telling you now, that's just come to me within the last week. Preacher, if I really set up for live for God. Matter of fact, I think that was said to me this weekend or real sure. Preacher, if I set up and live for God, my friends are going to be fewer. And you know what the answer was? You're probably right. Sad to say, even within the church. Are you listening? When no person was living for God, young people, when no person was living for God, no one in his family was living for God. He had no pattern to go by. Nobody had ever built an ark before. Are you listening? So he had nothing to go by other than the word of God. I'm hurrying. I got to quit. No pattern. I was preaching in Dunbar, Tennessee. I was preaching for Tim McCulley. And Brother Tim told me, he said, Brother Alfred, tomorrow I want to take you over here on the side of a mountain. I want to show you something. I said, okay. So he took me the next day over there on the side of a mountain. I don't remember what it was, Brother Panther. You might know. And he showed me that it was a ramp about like this width of this aisle, a wooden ramp that run right down, and it run off the end of the mountain. And I said, what is that, Brother Tim? He said, well, preacher, what they do, they run down that ramp, and they run off the end of that mountain. And it was about 1,000 foot down. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they get them gliders on, and they run off the end of that mountain, and them air currents lift them up. He said, this is in Tennessee. We have picked them up in Alabama. They have picked them up in Alabama. I said, Brother Tim, a person would have to be crazy to run off the side of a mountain with a glider, thinking a glider's going to hold him up. He said, well, they do it. I said, well, I went back to church that night. I got a priest. I said, your pastor took me over to the side of that mountain and said, people run off the side of that mountain with a glider. I said, I ain't got but one thing to say about that. You would have to be half crazy to do that. So you know how it is. You go to the back door to shake hands. People going out. Lady walked up to me. She said, you said you'd have to be half crazy to do that? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I do it. I said, you got a lot of faith. Amen. I don't know what to say. She said, not only that, I have strapped my grandchild to my back and did that. I thought to myself, you ain't half crazy, you crazy. Now listen to this. Here's what I thought about coming from that. At least these people saw some people, the wind currents held them up. What about the first person who did it? He didn't have no pattern to go by. Noah had no pattern to go by that anybody had ever built. And not only was there no pattern and no precipitation, it had never rained. The Bible said the water came up out of the ground. And he's out there preaching it's going to rain. And he's building an ark. It's going to rain. Rain, they didn't know what rain was. There was no lake by where he was. The man had faith. He was living by faith, doing what God told him to do. And here's where I've come in my life. I'm just got to preach the word of God, and I got to leave the results to God. But my calling is to preach the word of God, not to hurt people, but to help people. Preacher, I can't cut down the word of God because it ain't something I don't want to do. Amen and amen. Who's going to hear it if we don't preach it? Amen. No pattern, no person, no precipitation. Thank God it was a new project. It was a faith project. Listen to this. Listen to this. It was a big faith project in a dark day. Thank God, though the day was dark, he still had a big faith problem. 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, and 45 foot high. What a big faith project in a dark day. Is anybody listening? Amen and amen. It was a divine provision. It wasn't Noah's idea. It was God's. Amen. It was a divine plan. Amen. A big black box because it was pitched. That's asphalt, so to speak. It was black. It was a 450-foot building, so to speak. Solid black. Can't you hear the county super inspector come by? Mr. Noah, what are you doing? This is an eyesore. Not only is it big and humongous, but it's solid black. This is an eyesore in the community. We've been through that. If you did any building, if you live in around any kind, well, first time we just built a church on a building permit. Next time we had to pass all kind of inspection. Somebody help me. Now you go to build a building today, maybe you're in a different part. I'm out there in the country. Everything's changed since the first buildings we built. We just built our home for our men. We had to go through inspection after inspection and firewalls and a fireproof door, and they won't pass it. Are y'all listening? I don't want to bore you. I'm just simply saying Noah had a real project in a dark day. It was a big project. I think he had a global ministry, and I think he had a local ministry. He was working to save his family. At the same time, he's working to save the world. I'm glad in our church, thank God, we got a local ministry. We're trying to reach people in our community, but we're trying to reach people around the world. Amen and amen. Much to be said about that. I don't need to say any more about that. It was a divine plan. Amen. And then he told him to put one door in it. Can you imagine the inspector saying one door? Hey, sir, you got to have another door. Half a fire takes place. No, sir, it ain't going to be no fire. The fire's in the next go round. This will be a flood. So we're not putting another door in it. He said, well, it don't meet inspection. Anybody listening? And he said, put a door in it. That's a door right there. You know what that door does? That door right there, if you close it and there's somebody out there, shuts them out. But if you open that door and come in, he shuts you in. You know what the Bible said Jesus is? He's the door. He shuts people out, but when they come through the door, he shuts you in. Amen. I was once outside the door, but thank God the door, I come to the door, I asked my Lord to save me, he let me in, and he shut the door behind. The Bible said God shut the door. Didn't say Noah shut the door, said God shut the door. Thank God, amen, amen. And hey, I think it was three levels. The Bible said it was three levels. The level of salvation, the level of sanctification, the level of supplication. Matter of fact, you can't get to supplication on the third floor till you come in the bottom floor of salvation. Somebody help me. Amen and amen. Matter of fact, there's no dimensions on the door. There's dimensions of the length, the height, the width. There's dimensions on the width. No dimensions on the door. You won't read that. The elephant can go in the door. The ant can go in the door. Big sinners can come in. Little sinners can come in. Thank God for the door. Amen. No dimensions. Amen. And matter of fact, a door, if you take that door, and that's, look at this door right here. That's a beautiful door. And matter of fact, about as pretty one as I ever seen. You take that door, take it off the hinges, set it right there. We say, that's a beautiful door. That's a lovely door. But you know that door off the hinges serves no purpose. You can look at it and say it's beautiful, and it is. You can look at it and say that's a nice door. Look how it looks. Look at that. That's a beautiful door. But it serves no purpose till you hang it. Jesus is the door. His beautiful life, his perfect life, served no purpose until they hung him. Jesus had to be hung in order to be the door to make a way for us to be saved. I preached that somewhere. A carpenter walked up to me and he said, Brother Willis, I like that about that door. Could I help you? I said, I need all the help I can get. He said, I'm a carpenter. I know this to be true. Cheap doors have two attachments. Real good doors have three attachments. He said he was attached there. He was attached there. He was attached there. Thank God for the door. and you can't get to heaven by his good life or your good life. You have to come through the door. And when you get in, thank God, he'll shut the door and keep you in. Woo! Glory to God. Got to get through the door. You got to get in the door. Amen and amen. Is anybody listening? It was divine preservation. Eight went in, eight came out. He did not lose one. Anybody listen? Amen and amen. Hey, I believe this to be true. I worked on a shrimp boat before I got saved, and we used to be out on the ocean. Amen. And it was not unusual to be working there on the deck, getting up them shrimp and all off the shrimp boat, and you'd slip down and fall. Reeling and rocking, amen. And it was not unusual to slip down and fall down. But I'm telling you what, I've been saved now 50 something years. I fell down, fell around, but thank God I ain't never fell out. Why? Because he shut the door. Once you get in, you're going. Amen and amen. And that was divine preservation. Probably studied archaeology. Probably studied, worked on the floodlights. Y'all will get that later. Divine peace. Do you know the lion and the lamb was in the ark? I don't read about them fighting. Are you listening to me? It'll be like the millennium. Are y'all listening to me? I don't think our problem today is race. I think it's the lack of grace. I don't think our problem today is a skin problem. I think it's a love of sin problem. The grace of God covers that. Amen and amen. In the ark, you get in the ark of Christ, you'll change. I'm through. He feared God. He had found grace. He had family government. He had faith in God. He feared God. The Bible said he moved with fear. That's a lacking ingredient in our church. Amen. Are y'all listening? He witnessed. He condemned the world. He worked. He built an ark. He went in by faith. Amen. And God shut the door. Amen and amen. Would not be hard for me to believe this. Would not be hard for me to believe. That day, a little girl was playing outside, and all of a sudden, while she's playing with her little friends, all of a sudden, a drop of water hit her hand. I don't think this is stretching it. And she said, what's that? That's never happened before. And then another piece of water hit her, drop of water. And then another drop. And then another drop. And then she probably could have easily said, I remember that preacher preaching down there. And he said water was going to fall out of heaven. And she said, Bubba, look here. Water's falling. And then it started falling. And she run to the house. And she said, Daddy, there's the man down there that you told us not to go here because he was crazy. Water's falling out of heaven, like he said. I don't think that'd be hard to imagine. And then it began to rain. And it began to rain. And it began to rain. And no doubt, I don't think this is hard to imagine. Those people run to that ark. And they said, Mr. Noah. Oh, Mr. Noah, please, Mr. Noah, please open that door. Mr. Noah, please, Mr. Noah, we're sorry. You know what? If I'd have been Noah, I'd have opened the door. But Noah couldn't because Noah didn't shut it. And I'm telling you, Brother Panth, I'm telling you, people think we're crazy. They think we're crazy. The Lord's coming. Oh, I've heard that all. The Lord's coming. And I'm telling you, one day when the rapture takes place, there's going to be people, I believe this with all my heart, where are they going? They heard about it. Even my lost brother, before he got saved, many years ago after I got saved, my lost brother went home one day and wasn't nobody there. And he'd been heard the teaching and preaching on the rapture. And he said it scared him to death. He didn't get saved then. He said it scared him to death. Nobody was home. He said, wonder if the rapture took place. I'm telling you one day, church, young people, listen to me. One day, this rapture is going to take place, and us in this building is going to be gone. And you can say, oh, I missed the rapture. It's going to be too late. Your time, you've already had your chance. Now, I don't know what that age of accountability is, but if you're old enough to know you're a sinner and you're lost and the rapture takes place, you're going to be left here and take the judgment. You're going to go through the judgment of God. I'm saying don't do that. I'm not saying this in a comical way. Do not miss the boat. Are you listening? I don't know how. I know Noah didn't go up. I'm quitting. I know Noah didn't get up and round up all them animals. I think God called. He put Noah on the ark, waiting 7 days, and the animals came. Noah didn't go around. God brought them animals. And he gave them 7 days. He sat on that ark 7 days waiting on people to get on their ark. I'm telling you, God is waiting on you to get saved. He's postponed his judgment, waiting on you. The last one, Dr. Sightley used to say that, when the last one gets in, it's over. The body will be complete and we'll be gone. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, don't you wait till the rapture and then want to get saved. If you're hearing the gospel and you're convicted of your law, you need to get saved. It's an awful thought to think you sit in a Bible preaching church and you could miss the rapture. Are you listening? I'm through. Come tonight. I can't explain all. Anybody listening? Amen and amen. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I am begging you, get saved in this meeting. Even tonight, would you come and get saved? Let's stand together. We'll stand together.